This winter, keep your home warm and help lower your energy bills with Warmflow, the home heating experts. With an eco-friendly range of high-efficiency oil boilers and Zeno R290 air and ground source heat pumps, Warmflow provides home heating solutions designed to save you money while keeping you cozy, whatever the weather. Trusted for over 50 years, Warmflow delivers heating that works smarter, not harder. For all your home heating needs, visit warmflow.co.uk.
Welcome along to the last leg here on WLR with Jordan Norris. Plenty of sport to get through despite all the weather-related cancellations at the weekend. We'll be reflecting on the Waterford Senior Football Championship and what was ultimately a disappointing night for Waterford FC on Friday. But first, I'm joined in studio by a three-time European gold medal-winning boxer and his Waterford coach. Now we're going to turn our attentions to boxing, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by Joe Ward and Waterford boxing coach Jimmy Payne. Joe, I'll start with yourself. Professional ranks going well for you. Another big fight in the horizon now in the next couple of weeks. Down here in Waterford training with Jimmy, sparring away with a couple of the local lads. How's everything going for you?
Yeah, everything is going really good. Down here the last number of weeks, working with Jimmy and Keelan Casty's helped me out, and Dylan Moore and the guys like that, which is a great stable we have down here, Jimmy has, and everything's going really well. I'm looking forward to the fight myself on the 18th of October in the National Stadium, so it's great to be just back home and fighting with your home fans, people that obviously would have supported you down through the years but wouldn't get the opportunity to obviously be able to travel to America where I had most of my fights. So yeah, to be coming back here now for the second time, and also coming back to the National Stadium in Dublin, it's very special for me because that's where it all began in 2005 when I won my first national title when I was 11 years old. So yeah, rolling back the years, but yeah. It's great to be going back there as a pro for my first fight, and yeah, it's some great nights in the National Stadium when I would have been fighting the likes of Kenneth Egan in the 2011, 12 and 13 Elite Final.
That's right, yeah.
The place is absolutely rocking. It was sold out. Like, I haven't seen the atmosphere like it since, so I'm hoping to bring that sort of atmosphere back now to the stadium, so come October 18th.
Yeah, as you said, incredible memories there from the amateur career and that as well. And Jimmy, you work with a lot of different fighters. You've been all around the world yourself. And obviously, I suppose it's brilliant to be able to bring someone of the calibre of Joe back in and train the local lads, because I think it's an experience that benefits everybody.
Yeah, 100%. And Joe, believe it or not, Joe's part of the stable, but he's also a coach with me. So
yeah,
we coach the other boxers together. So it's brilliant to bring his knowledge. You know, he's after being under every high-performance coach, I know, Cubans to Russians to Ukrainians, and like the knowledge that he can pass on as well. So it's not just about me, it's about a team we have together, and yeah, it's working really well, Jordan. It's top class. We have three in the stable now, Joe, Dylan and Tiana Schroeder is a new girl we're after signing up.
Yeah.
And we want to keep it around 3 to 5 people because, you know, we want to give that personal touch, and I think if you're too big of a stable, it doesn't work as much. But yeah, things are going really, really well at the moment, and this is an important year for Joe and Dylan as well, believe it or not. And I think we're on the right track, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Joe, talk to me about your last few fights. Obviously, as I mentioned, everything is starting to click and go well for you. You've kind of been around the world as well and had that experience, but as you say, getting back to fight in front of the home crowd now as a professional, like that, such a motivating factor, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we've been in America since 2019, myself and Jimmy, and we fought in Canada, we fought in Mexico, we fought in Puerto Rico, we fought in Madison Square Garden, so huge experience I've got over the last couple of years, traveling around to the best clubs and the best gyms in America, sparring the top guys in the world. So yeah, to be now that I have that done, I feel like I'm ready now to push on. I feel like I'm ready now to really challenge myself and look for the big fights in the 175 division. So, yeah, just to get that little run out fight, or maybe get this fight at in the National Stadium where my fans can really buy into it and come and see it and show what I'm really about. Because I'm hoping after this fight that we go on to challenge for big titles and get the opportunity to fight for the titles I think I deserve and I'm good enough to take when the opportunity comes my way.
100%. Jimmy, talk to me about this fight and this actual card itself, and I suppose how everything would have come about. Like, because I think people take for granted the amount of organisation that goes in behind the scenes in terms of training camps, in terms of actually getting fight cards finalised. Like, there's so much goes into an operation like it.
Yeah, be honest, realistically, I was hoping that Joe would get on the water for the show, and this one came up before it, so we jumped on it because, as I said, the shows are few and far between. Joe don't stop training, basically. We're training all the time. It's just periodising it and the year out, and hopefully then we get plenty of notice for fights. So we go into a camp and then we start tuning up, you know. This is a big fight. He's a very tricky opponent. He's 8-3. He's fighting from Italy, but he's originally Algerian. So he's been in with a few good lads. He's been beaten by three top lads, I suppose, that are ranked in the world. So he's no pushover, and it'll be a big test for Joe. And this is exactly what I needed, because, as I said, and Joe mentioned earlier, this is an important year coming up, 2025. We're hoping to be fighting for some sort of a title, whether it be WBO or WBC, it doesn't matter. But he's at the putting out the message out there, and this will make a massive difference. Obviously, it'll give him the limelight back in Ireland again, because, believe it or not, when you're in America, people kind of forget you, you know.
They can,
You're a big name over in America, but it doesn't filter back over here, you know. We spent 5 years training with the best lads, best coaches in the world. We've learned so much and the experience he's got. So I'm looking forward to him showing that in Ireland, and people will see how good he is, you know.
Absolutely.
And then it's just a matter of waiting for the call and taking the big fight when it comes, you know.
Absolutely. Joe, I know Jimmy said we don't want to make it about him, but I do have to ask you, what is it like to work with Jimmy? And obviously, as I mentioned, like, you've been together for quite a long time now. You know, as you said, you've soldiered across a lot of different places. And just having somebody like that, and as you mentioned, a lot of the different nationalities that you've bedded in with, and you see all different styles of boxing, like, that all stands to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all experience, and that helps you, obviously, in your pro career. Fighting all different styles, and I haven't really, it wouldn't been anything that I didn't see before, because as an amateur I would have fought in a lot of major championships, like, I mean, and places all over the world. So yeah, look, at it, I kind of did, never really fazed me, but obviously it was still great experience to be in there and learning from the best, as Jimmy said. But to have Jimmy there with me, it's huge, because obviously Jimmy's knowledge as a coach and the way he goes about doing things, it makes it simple, but maybe simple sometimes is the best way. He doesn't complicate it. So look at it. It's been a pleasure working with Jimmy the last 5 years, and we've learned so much, and I've learned so much from him, and he's a great coach, and he's a great mentor. And as I see, the stable is starting to build. He's Dylan and Tiana. So look, it shows that he's doing it right, and he's and as long as you buy into it, you won't go wrong, and you got to trust him, because everything he says, he's always right at the end of the day.
Absolutely, I suppose that's always an easy thing to operate off. Mm. I suppose in terms of a plan, Jimmy, it's easier said than done, but you just take off this and you kind of start to look towards the bigger nights in 2025 in a way.
Yeah, and look, if you look at the big picture, Joe is obviously the best amateur and the male amateur that Ireland's ever produced, in my opinion, and I've been with the best, the likes of John Joe and Ryan Burnett and all these kind of Carl Framptons. His pedigree stands for itself. But if you look at that in the pro game, like the likes of Boazzi and Dan Aziz and all that, Joe's boxed those and sparred those as amateur levels, and these are in the top 2 and 3 in the world. And it's very hard for those fellas to accept a fight with Joe, because they know they're taking a chance in their career. So that's the problem we have now at the moment. We're in kind of the top 20 in the world, and to get that next step against a Boazzi or a Dan Aziz or Lyndon Arthur or one of these guys, they're kind of half frightened to make the chance. So it's just some big promoter to say, look, we're going to pay the money and put the money up, and then it'll come. And it's only a matter of time. I mean, they're after being shy of him, I suppose, for the last 12 months.
But of course.
we're after keeping active. We're after having some great wins in Madison Square Garden the last 12 months. It was a fabulous fight, Joe's last fight. He was at a chat box for a WBO title. He was in, he was beaten, but he was up there. So that really pushed him up in rankings again. So, yeah, it's, I think definitely there's only a matter of, you know, the next step is someone calling him out and taking that chance. And look, I have no question, Joe is, he'll be in the top 5 or 6 in the world in 2025 and probably will fight for a world title at some level.
Well, fingers crossed, absolutely. And just for yourself, Joe, like, obviously, as I mentioned to Jimmy there, it is a case of stepping stones and you don't really look past the next fight. Like, but you have to have that ambition to keep you going forward. Like, you always have to have, as a boxer, that kind of bigger picture in the back of your mind too.
Yeah, obviously, my main focus now is obviously October 18th, take care of business. But at the end of the day is, I know where I'm at, I know what I can do, and I know what work I put in the gym. To take these challenges and take these big fights, and I'm ready for them. Like, I'm ready for any of the guys in the top 15 in the world. I'm ready today, tomorrow, or whenever. It's just about getting the opportunity, and the opportunity will only come, as Jimmy said, if a promoter wants it, or we really can make it happen, because I want it to happen. I want to be there, but they're probably weighing up the risk and reward. They're probably saying, like, Joe Ward is a great fighter, and what do we get from it? But that's where I need to kind of push myself into a position where these guys backed him into a corner, would have no other choice.
Yeah.
Do you mean, and just unleash and take everything to have?
Absolutely, yeah. Jimmy, just I suppose a general question in a way. Like, you mentioned there at the start that it's important for Irish fans to have an opportunity to see somebody like Joe on Irish soil as well. Like, and you look at the overall picture of Irish boxing, like, there's a lot of success out there at the moment, but even still, like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background, and you wonder, like, are clubs being supported enough? What's going to happen from an amateur point of view as well? So I think it's all the more important to get any momentum that you possibly can behind anything boxing related.
Yeah, there's a lot of politics in boxing, but I mean, I think I started in the high performance in 1999-2000 with Gary Keegan and Jim Moore, Billy Walsh. And from the day I went in till the day I left it, there's politics involved. And there is, and there always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of money, you know, grants and all that stuff goes through. So, like, there's always going to be politics. So I think it's so important to take all the positives out of boxing. And to be honest, look at Kelly Harrington, what she done in the Olympics. And you know, the two different organisations now starting to fight against each other. And like, just leave that to the politicians and focus on the kids. And there's some fantastic coaches here in Ireland. There's some fantastic boxers here. And it's only going to go from strength to strength once they're looked after. And that's the way they should do it. They should look after the kids. And I think that's the most important part, the juveniles, the juniors and the youths. And the rest will take care of itself when they go to the high performance, and leave them do all the politicians do all the political work, you know.
Yeah, and just as a final note as well, Joe, I'm sure you'd agree, like, everything is about giving back to the people that helps when you start, like, fighting in front of your family, your community, representing where you're from. I know you're from Westmeath, and that's obviously really important to you. And, but, like, even just Ireland as a whole, like, it's important to be able to give back to people and to inspire that next generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, it's very important that you try to be the best role model you can and inspire as many young kids as possible. But yeah, look, boxing's in a good place at the moment. Like, I mean, you see boxing, Callum Walsh with a great show he had in the Tree Arena. You see Katie Taylor, the show she had in the Tree Arena. So it's good to see professional boxing back here in Ireland. And people's able to come and see it and watch it, real boxing fans and people in general, like, to mean to come out, like, and to see, like, what's boxing all about, like, and it's a great sport, and it gives a lot of young kids great discipline. And I'm lucky enough to be working, helping out as much as I can with a club close to me as well, Athlone Boxing Club, so, which is great to see so many young kids coming in. And look, they're not all going to be champions, but maybe you could inspire, maybe you can guide them and just give them an opportunity, maybe just to come in there and be part of it and learn the basics. And maybe they might never be a boxer, but you could give them discipline or something to outside of the boxing they could go on and do great, which is great to see. Like, to mean, so yeah, just to be a role model as best I can be and be who I am, and which is just a normal guy who's just trying to achieve something great.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, 18th of October, the National Stadium. Wish you the very best of luck. No doubt it's going to be a big night for you and everybody involved in Irish boxing. And as we said, 2025, hopefully on to bigger and better things. But until then, we'll leave it for there. Joe Ward and Jimmy Payne, very best of luck on the 18th of October. And really, really appreciate you joining us.
Thanks very much.
Welcome back to part two of The Last Leg here on WLR with Jordan Norris. Now let's turn our attentions to the Waterford Senior Football Championship. Galtier booked their place in the semi-finals with a 15-1 win against Roan Moore on Saturday, while the Nyre are also through to the quarter-finals after a 3-11-1 victory against Clashmore Kinsale Beg. Tomás McCarthy has been speaking to Galtier's Desi Hutchinson and Nyre manager Derek Lyons.
Here was Galtier forward Desi Hutchinson. Dizzy, how much character did you have to show in the closing 10 minutes when Roan Moore drew level?
Yeah, big character, Tomás. It was probably, I don't know what happened down there, but to me it didn't seem a goal with the reaction of our lads. But yeah, exactly. Look, we responded really well. We got three big scores, and people stood up when it really mattered. So we're delighted to show the character that we had to at the end there, because you know that builds confidence as well into the next game.
Was that point from JJ right out of the top drawer?
It was, yeah. I won't tell him that, though. I won't hear the end of it. But I know, look, he's been doing it years. He's standing up in big moments. So delighted for him.
Yeah, and how good was Mark Fitzgerald once again today? You got four from play, but he got four from play as well.
Yeah, sure. Look, we all know that the athlete that Mark is, and probably people outside the county probably doesn't realise how good of a footballer he is. He's probably the best footballer in the county when he's playing like that. So he's unbelievable, and we're delighted to have him.
How much are you enjoying the football at the moment, Desi? Probably took you a couple of weeks to get up to speed after winning the county title with Ballygunner.
Yeah, exactly. And look, a few of us, we love coming back from the hurling to play. You know, like we grew up in Dunmore. It means an awful lot to us to play for Galtier. And you know, sometimes it's a bit neglected playing for Galtier when we're so successful in the hurling. And same with the Passage lads, they're trying to bridge the gap every year in terms of getting further and further in the hurling, and it probably gives us less time in the football pitch. So similar to Roanmore, like, you know, they're probably trying to do the same in the hurling. And you know, if both teams had a bit more football in their hands throughout the year, we'd be a lot better teams. But thankfully we've another, please God, well, we definitely have a week anyway, and we'll see what happens later. But we've another 2 weeks to get the balls in our hands and sharpen up again.
Is the ambition to get your hands on that elusive Conway Cup?
Absolutely. Look, we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't have that aspiration, I suppose. And we definitely have a good enough panel of players to do it. But as I said, we just need to probably that bit more time together with the balls in our hands, because we're all good footballers. But you know, a lot of teams around the county have the football in their hand for 6-7 months, where you know I only had the football in my hand a week after the hurling. So it's tough, like, you know. But as I said, thankfully we've another week to get the ball in our hands and see where it takes us.
I'm here with NAR manager Derek Lyons. Derek, how pleased are you to bounce back from last week's setback against Galtier?
Gosh, look, we're delighted, because like, it's knockout stage. Like, and today there was a sense about that as well today for us, as I'm sure for Clashmore. We were conscious coming into the game, if Clashmore turned us over, they topped the group. So, you know, it was in their own hands to top the group, you know, because they had beaten Galtier on 6 points after getting a bit of a fright against Roan Moore. But from our perspective today, was just about continuation of what we're doing. We were really happy with the performance last week in the round. We thought we created a huge amount of opportunities. We didn't take a lot of those when they came to us on the night, whereas Galtier were very clinical, you know. So tonight was about just continuation of what we were doing, and trying to build on not making as many ball handling errors, or when we get offered up a few goal chances to take them. Now we got three today. We still left definitely two down behind us in the first half. So yeah, look, happy overall now. We're driving on, and we're into the knockout stages.
Tom Guire got the first goal tonight, Derek, but he came off straight away. Can you tell us what happened to him?
Yeah, I think he picked up a little bit of overstretch on the grind, so we got him off as quickly as we could, obviously, like, you know, and we're conscious, you know. Again, I go back to this thing, three or four games in like, this is our fourth game in 15 days, you know, and like, again, I'm just going to have to say it, like, everybody else in the other group is free this weekend, like, and we're out again, you know. So look, but yeah, that's probably, he was more cautious in that, and hopefully he can get him right within the week, you know. That, but it was just more concerned about the stretch and the grind. It's a difficult kind of a spot to sort out in a hurry, you know.
How was Conor Gleeson? He didn't take the field today.
Yeah, again, another lad that, like, as I said to you, it's probably well documented, and I've said it to you myself, like, Conor is struggling with injuries with a long time, and we were forced to involve him in three games in eight or nine days, and we just felt today, like, it just was a game too far for him, you know. We just needed to give him, stand him down, and you know, those kind of decisions we just you don't make lightly, because you're not being disrespectful to the opposition anyway. It's about player welfare here. Like, so yeah, hopefully Conor now that rest will do him good and he'll be flying again for next week.
What are your thoughts on that challenge next week against Kilrossendale?
Well, look, it's an old fashioned big game between Denier and Kilrossendale. You know, anybody that thinks that's going to be a cakewalk for any of the teams is going to be far wrong. I think it'll be a close game. Kilrossendale are showing the last game they put up a big score, probably disappointed with their performances in the first two games, but they put up a big score against Brickies and they'll come at us. They beat us in the league earlier on in the year, so I suppose they'll use that as a bit of energy and a bit of motivation. But look, we're ready for whoever comes at us now. We're in the space, we feel that we're progressing every week, we're getting better and better, and you know, we ended up bringing three or four lads off the bench there today again, just so we finalise our starting 15 for next week. So you know, we feel confident, but we're not going to disrespect or show any sort of look down on top of Kilrossendale. You know, it's going to be close at the end of the day.
Now, and Tomás joins me in studio. Tomás, another busy weekend just gone, the two games on Saturday. Galtier and Roan Moore will start with a particularly impressive performance from Mark Fitzgerald.
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. I was chatting to Desi Hutchinson after the game and he said he's probably the best footballer in the county. And it's probably hard to disagree with him based on what we've seen so far. He got 4 points from play on Saturday, two in each half. And he's just such a natural footballer. He just glides across the ground, eases his way past opponents and can kick points for fun. And when Galtier needed him towards the end, he popped up with a couple of quality scores. But like Dizzy himself was really on top form. He was been man-marked by Brian Everard, who's been a standout player for Roan Moore this year, but he got 4 points in play as well, off left and right as well. And you can just see the couple of weeks of football that Desi has got under his belt has done the world of good, and they were the two key men for Galtier at the weekend.
Yeah, the real difference makers, and of course the bonus have been straight through to the semi-finals. Now, for the Nair, an impressive win against Clashmore, Kinsale Beg, 3-11 they put up, and I suppose the goals are probably what made the primary difference.
They did, Jordan, and like, you know, even though the Nair went into the game knowing that they couldn't make a semi-final, you know, they still attacked this one with a lot of purpose and bounced back from the loss the week before against Galtier. You know, they got two goals in the space of 5 minutes, Tolum Gyrie and Evan Spellman, and you know, really they took control of the game from there, got on top of the Clashmore kickouts. Sean Welch, I thought, was back to his best at midfield. You know, another towering figure, another player that Waterford football manager Paul Shankey would love to get his hands on.
Certainly.
And look, there was a bit of a blow for Denier at midfield in terms of Tolum Gyrie went off with a groin injury just after he found the back of the net, but still, Sean Welch really, you know, lorded that area. They had 9 different scorers on the night. Larry Welch got a goal and a point. Aaron Ryan got 3 points. He's coming back from concussion. Dylan Gyrie got some minutes into the legs. He's coming back from injury as well. I think, you know, Derek Lyons will be pretty pleased with the performance, you know, considering the defeat last week to Galtier, and also the fact that Conor Gleeson didn't start. I suppose it's been well documented at this stage, the busy schedule that Nair have had.
Of course.
And, you know, Derek Lyons said that he chose to rest Conor Gleeson due to his ongoing back injury, but, you know, he'll be back for the quarter-final now against Kilrossendale next Sunday. Clashmore will be disappointed, especially after beating Galtier in the previous round, when 16 minutes without a score, didn't really get a hold of things at midfield. Brian O'Halloran was their best player, pinging passes around, got 2 nice points from play. Paul O'Connor also threatened as well, but the Nair looked a class above on Saturday evening.
Absolutely. We'll touch on that Nair-Kilrossendale game there in a moment. We'll talk about the other quarter-final first, that Clashmore-Kinsale-Beg, Abbeyside, Ballinlacorty clash. As you mentioned, like, Clashmore-Kinsale-Beg, they have the potential, like, that win against Galtier, like, shows what they're capable of. But Abbeyside, Ballinlacorty as well, like, bar the Rathgormack game, like, they've been almost foot-perfect across the board this year as well. Probably, when you look at the game, the loss of Conor Prunty is probably the main thing where you look at it and say that could be what swings the game maybe back in the balance. But I'd imagine if you had your thinking hat on, you'd probably be saying maybe Abbeyside, Ballinlacorty for that one.
Yeah, perhaps, Jordan, but maybe it's a little bit closer than people might expect.
Yeah.
Given the fact that Conor Prunty is out for
Ballon Courtier. Like, he was such a weapon in the group stages, 3 goals in 2 games from full forward. You know, and he's out for the rest of the season now. So Ballon Courtier, you have to fill that gap. Also the fact that I think Ty De Burke will probably start for Clashmore the next day.
Yeah.
He didn't come on till the 30-minute mark against Denier on Saturday evening, and I do think with his presence around the middle, that'll make a difference for Clashmore Kinsale Beg. There's going to be very little between these two teams. I see Patrick Horney is still up front for Ballinacorty. What a servant, what a player, what a score getter.
Incredible, yeah.
Ballinacorty over the years. Michael Kiley is playing well for them as well around the middle of the field, got a goal and a point the last day. Brian Luby's a real rock in defence. I assume he'll take on one of Clashmore's key forwards, the likes of a Brian O'Halloran or a Paul O'Connor. Mm. He's been brilliant for them this season so far. I think it's going to be a tight one. Maybe Abbey side Ballinacorty to shade it, but we could need extra time in this one, Jordan, perhaps.
Maybe so. And Denier and Kilrossandy, like as I mentioned, Denier, their fixture schedule hasn't been kind to them. I suppose we've said more than enough about that. Kilrossandy kind of go into it as well, somewhat of an unknown quantity. They had that heavy win over the Bricky Rangers, but then a couple of disappointing defeats mixed in between. And they were one of those clubs that we kind of mentioned had to bounce back from playing so late in the hurling schedule. Maybe they're kind of only getting into the swing of things now. And their manager said, you know, the more they play, they're only going to get better as well.
Yeah, and they produced their best performance of the season against Bricky Rangers. Were totally on top of that game from an early stage, and I think they've finally put the disappointment of that heavy county junior final loss to Rowan Moore behind them. Alan Dunwoody will be a handful for any full back line. Denier will have to get their matchups right in that regard. Mm-hmm. Padraig Fitzgerald is a real weapon coming from that midfield half back area. He got 1-3 the last day against Bricky Rangers, and they also have Paul White togging out once again, you know, playing through the pain barrier. You know, had to retire from inter-county football due to injury, but is still togging out for Kilrossandy. We've seen him play between the sticks a couple of years ago, and now he's back up at full forward. So, you know, a full forward line with Paul White and Alan Dunwoody, they'll take a bit of minding. And
definitely,
you know,
yeah.
Thomas O'Gorman is off the scene now for Denier as well. I think maybe the winning of this game could be at midfield with, you know, if Tolam Gyrie is fit for Denier, him teaming up with Sean Welsh, that could be a bit of a game changer for Denier. And Conor Gleeson as well returning at the other end of the field, he'll take a lot of minding as well. I think it could be a bit of a shootout here, Jordan. Two good sets of forwards here. I think the experience of Denier might just carry them over the line here.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like it's going to be a very busy day of action in Fraherfield on Sunday. Two tightly contested games. And just briefly, Saturday in the relegation playoff section, we have On Ryan and the Bricky Rangers. Going off the evidence of form that we've seen probably so far this year, you would imagine On Ryan would probably shade it.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, the Brickies have taken 3 heavy beatings in the championship so far. You know, haven't been competitive in any of their group stage games. Now they will have 2 weeks of a break, so I'm sure they'll be a lot sharper. But you know, they're coming up against an On Ryan side who will be, I'm sure, really frustrated to find themselves in this position after being in a county semi-final last year and running Rathgormack so close and having that brilliant win over Ballinacorty on penalties in the quarter-finals before that. You know, I think they'll have too much for the Brickies. I think, like with Tony Burnock pulling the strings at centre forward, and with all the inter-county experience that they have all around the field, I think On Ryan will be safe, and then the Bricky Rangers and Rowan Moore then will face off again in the next round of this relegation series.
Absolutely. Well, so much to play for across the course of the weekend, and we'll have plenty of updates across the board here on WLR. Tomás McCarthy, thanks a million.
Thanks a million, Jordan.
You're listening to The Last Leg here on WLR with Jordan Norris. Now we'll turn our attention to soccer. Waterford FC took the lead after just 7 minutes at home to Galway on Friday night. Padraig Ammon then saw his penalty saved 3 minutes later. Stephen Walsh and Killian Browder struck in the second half to secure 3 points for the tribesmen, as the Blues have slumped to an 8th defeat in their last 10 games. I spoke to their manager, Keith Long, afterwards. Full time here at the RSC and has finished Waterford FC 1, Galway United 2. A disappointing night for the Blues. Waterford had the perfect start 7 minutes in. Dean McMenemy gave the Blues the lead. The ball fell kindly to him after a free kick in the box and he hammered home into the bottom corner. 3 minutes later, they had the perfect opportunity to double the lead. Sam Bellis dragged down by goalkeeper Brendan Clark. And Porter Gammon stepped up to the penalty spot, but his effort was saved by Clark. And from there on in, it was Galway's night. 61 minutes on the clock and they got the equaliser. A ball came in from the right flank and Stephen Walsh beat Dara Leahy to the front post, flicked it on into the far corner. And then 7 minutes later, Galway took the lead. Greg Cunningham's free kick deflected, cannoned off the bar. Leahy attempted to clear the lines, cannoned back off Killian Browder and into the Waterford net. From there on in, Waterford threw men forward in search of an equaliser, but it proved elusive. The European dream, unfortunately, looks up in smoke for the Blues. Full-time at the RSC, Waterford FC 1, Galway United 2.
Yeah, really poor. Disappointing is an understatement. We take the lead, we miss a penalty. To double our advantage in the first half, started the game really well. To be fair to Galway, they came into it in the second half of the first half. And they started the second half a lot brighter than we did. But we can't concede the goals that we conceded at any level of the game. You can't, and you do not see goals that we've conceded tonight in any level of the game. And that's the disappointing thing. You know, the supporters come here to watch the team play. You know, our defending is really, really poor. And we're disappointed with that. Extremely disappointed with that. We haven't kept enough clean sheets all year. And Galway come and they have a game plan, they have a way of playing, they're very, very organised, very good at what they do, they've got some really good players. You know they're going to test you. First phase, second phase. And we just didn't do enough. Well, the wall is there to do a job. So first and foremost, the ball goes through the wall, takes a deflection, hits a crossbar, comes back out, and we're second to it. So Galway showed more hunger in those moments. They fight and scrap for everything. First goal is really poor, you know, we get torn in the box, we don't land on the second ball in the middle of the park. And then we huffed and puffed. You know, we didn't really create a huge amount. Go away, drop off, get bodies behind the ball, make life really difficult for you. And we got exactly what we deserved from the game, which was nothing tonight, unfortunately. And it's poor. It's poor in terms of defending. And I suppose it's my responsibility, you know. So I keep picking the team. You know, you know, we put a team out that we think is going to be effective. We think that we can get a good performance last week. Really, really good away from home against Pats, even though the scoreline didn't reflect it. But tonight, just not good enough. Not good enough in the duels. Not good enough winning tackles, winning headers, doing the basics of the game. Just, you know, so...
Keith, I suppose, as you mentioned there, like, obviously the defeat is one thing, but it's probably more so the manner of the defeat that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, poor goals. There's no defending. The goals, or there's no the standard, of our defensive play. You know, first half, we're okay. You know, looked okay. Could have started brightly. Could have got, obviously the second goal with the missed penalty, you know, to double the advantage. We defended manfully at times when we needed to in the first half. But second half, we didn't weather a storm. Galway came out of the traps and we didn't weather that storm, you know, and they got ahead or got an equaliser, got ahead. And it's, you know, against a team like Galway, you know, very difficult to claw that back. So we didn't defend the moments. We didn't defend well enough over the course of the 90 minutes, and yeah, we're punished for it.
Just, I suppose, on the season as a whole, the first half of the season, things going really well, kind of in a way, almost ahead of schedule, so to speak. And then, as you mentioned, we've kind of had that hiccup of form in the second half of the season. What do you think has actually been the difference there?
We got a little bit of luck in some of the games early on in the season. We played well. You know, we were playing with confidence. Second half of the season, since the break, we've lost one or two players, obviously, where we're key to how we tried to play. We brought in other players. Some of the performances of late have been okay. Some of them have been decent. Some of the results in the games, you could argue we should get maybe a little bit more out of. We're a little bit low in terms of confidence from the group at the minute. But at the same time, you know, training's been good. The boys have been working hard. You know, the dressing room's been quite good. But we're young. You know, we lack a little bit of leadership, I think, at times. In the dressing room,
and we can't rely upon one or two of our senior players. We need everybody mucking in. So, yeah, our form has dipped off a little bit, and our job now is to try and attack the next four games, you know, between now and the end of the season, and finish on a high. Because, you know, listen, yeah, we've been disappointed with some of the results. Some of the performances have been quite good, but, you know, ultimately, you know, we haven't won enough games in the second half of the season that we would have liked. We came back after the break, started really well, got two good results, you know, two wins that get us back. Pat's at home, Dundalk away, and, you know, hasn't been, you know, levels. We haven't hit top level since.
And like I said, we should have doubled the advantage from the penalty spot, so... disappointed with that. Podge has been immense for us all year. Our tallies, man, it's been really, really good. So these things happen. We go again, you know. But we had a great start to the game, but we didn't follow that through. We didn't get on it and play enough. The game becomes a little bit scrappy, and you know, listen, you got to keep clean sheets in football to give yourself a platform to try and play. And we haven't kept enough this year. You know, I think we kept five clean sheets all season. That's just not good enough for a team with aspirations of maybe, you know, kicking on into the second half of the season. Our form just hasn't been good enough. And again, I suppose when you strip everything back and you look at things in the cold light of day, you know, it comes down to me, it comes down to the management of the team, it comes down to, you know, team selection, it comes down to personality, it comes down to, you know, having been accountable, having players on the pitch that are accountable, you know, responsible for their performances. And we've just been a little bit shy of that. We've got a young side. I'm not, you know, they're a young team, one of the youngest team, if not the youngest team in the league. But that's not an excuse. You still have to have personality, you still have to have character, you still have to go out and defend the moments. And that's all it is in the game. And like I said to you earlier, you just don't see those goals conceded from top teams, from good teams. You know, poor teams concede goals like that. And, you know, at no level of football, you know, should you be seeing goals like that. They're terrible.
Waterford FC back in action next Friday against Drogheda United, just four games left in the League of Ireland Premier Division season for the Blues. On the local front this week, plenty to look forward to. Villa take on Ferrybank in the Waterford Premier League tomorrow night. They can move to within one more win of a fourth successive title. Two games on Wednesday, Bohemians take on Hibernians, and Dungarvan United are at home to Waterford Crystal. Then more action on Saturday, Tramore away to Tyker from 2 o'clock, Ferrybank against Hibs at 7, and a local derby between Dungarvan United and Ballinrode at Kilrush Park. Definitely a big crowd out there for that one. One more on Sunday then as Waterford Crystal play Portlaoise United at 11. And a big one, Villa go for the Munster Champions Trophy at 2 o'clock as they take on Grattan United in Youghal. You'll be able to hear my interview with their manager, Conor Code, coming up on WLR later this week. We'll leave it there for this week. Thank you very much for listening. John O'Shea is on the way with some great music as always. Plenty of local sport across WLR in the coming days. We'll be announcing the August winner of the Waterford Sports Awards in association with the Granville Hotel tomorrow morning, so stay tuned for that. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday.